Good afternoon. Please wait while the presentation is loading. I am Michael Arnold. I'm with the Legacy Project, which is in the Office of HIV/AIDS Network Coordination, which is in the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. So if I seem like I have three different personalities, I do. And I just want to acknowledge beforehand that the majority of what I'm presenting, I'm the social scientist with the Legacy Project and have been principally responsible for data collection, data analysis, et cetera, related to this project and other projects that we conduct. But the majority of the work is done by those wonderful people listed below my name. And so I just wanted to give them all an acknowledgement and let you all know that if you have any detailed questions, I will give you some email addresses at the end because they would have much more on the ground knowledge about this. Unfortunately, with funding, et cetera, they weren't able to attend the conference. So I am presenting in their stead. This is not going forward.
I have the little arrows right there.
Which one? I think I got it. Okay. So this project was really about HIV clinical research in Native communities and working primarily with urban Native communities. And so some of this stuff, I mean, I work across a broad spectrum of populations and groups and communities, but my work has not really focused before this on working with Native populations and Indigenous populations. So some of this was aha for me, which made some of you be like, yeah, whatever, we know this. So I'm going to run through this kind of quickly. You might know some of these statistics. So there's high rates of HIV diagnosis among Native Hawaiians, Pacific Islanders, as well as American Indians and Alaska Natives. And then also new HIV infections have increased amongst these groups. And this is actually from some survey we do within this project. We do, as I'll discuss later, some sort of formative research and data collection within communities. So these are from surveys that were collected at like powwows and different public events, asking people on the left-hand side was from Seattle and Denver, and asking people how much they felt HIV affects their community. And as you can see, over 60% feel that it affects their community some or a lot. I would say within the ranking, so we had this actually ranked as well, and so this was ranked probably like fifth as the health issues that were important to the community. I think diabetes was probably number one. Suicide was like second or third or something like that too. So suicide, alcoholism, HIV, et cetera, were health issues that affected them. And we asked in a slightly separate way with San Francisco and Chicago sites about HIV affecting themselves or someone close to them rather than just a general community idea. And still the numbers come out roughly the same, except that what you see is that the none kind of increases a little bit more. I do want to say that within these surveys, and this is something it'll come out implicitly in this discussion, but it's not something I'm going to be presenting specifically, is that we do also ask about resources and supports and strengths. And so it's not all about like, what is the negative impact on your community, but also what are the resources, what's going on well, how is it being talked about, et cetera. So you won't see all of that here. But so there's an important benefit to engaging Native communities around HIV research. So I want to make this clear, and this happens a lot in discussions, the sort of conflation between HIV and HIV clinical research. Two totally separate things, totally related, but people sometimes misdistinguish what is really HIV prevention and actual direct service and reaching out and supporting treatment, care, prevention efforts around HIV versus what are the goals of HIV clinical research, which may not necessarily, participating in a study, for instance, doesn't necessarily mean that one's health outcome is going to be better simply by participating in that study. However, HIV prevention programs, HIV treatment programs should improve health directly. Now, what I'm trying to present here is what is the importance of participating and getting Native communities participating in clinical research when there may be low participation in HIV prevention and treatment. Well, it has some advantages. One is that there's a community benefit of empowerment, and I'll discuss a little bit more of that. There's a researcher benefit of building the capacity of these clinical research sites. which also sometimes also provides treatment, care, prevention services. And then there's a scientific, overall scientific benefit on discovery and knowledge. So from the community empowerment component, in the next set of slides, what I'm going to present, you'll see in this box here a few of the quotes that come from some of the qualitative research that we also did with focus group participants. And what I'm presenting in the middle is sort of the key points around each of these considerations. So from community empowerment, it's important because it can raise informed and knowledgeable communities. And again, this is what I'm presenting here is about awareness, not participation. And I want to make that clear. It's not getting people to participate in trials. It's raising awareness within communities, regardless of whether people are eligible, would participate, want to participate, like the trial, etc. The whole point is that they should be informed and knowledgeable about what's going on, especially if researchers are trying to reach out to their community. It also should raise their access to cutting-edge developments and technology. So understanding what's already out there in the field and what's new and what's developed should allow these communities to have this information and this access to it. It also accesses new tools that are efficacious and acceptable among the community members. So engaging these community members into the understanding of what these clinical trials are will help researchers, as I'll show a little later, to really hone in how to present, reach out, how to develop their protocols so that they're culturally appropriate, that they reach out to the right people, that they acknowledge the benefits as well as some of the risks that are associated for different cultures and groups. And then it also will improve trust and relationships. And that's a theme that will come up a lot. And then for researcher capacity, it increases researchers' awareness of Native communities. It also can improve their cultural humility and cultural appropriateness of the outreach efforts, as I mentioned, as well as the protocol design. And it can meet ethical goals of diversity in trials. And again, improve trust and relationships with the communities. From a scientific discovery aspect, diversity is very important from a genetic biomarker, from like understanding how effective something can be in different genetic and cultural and environmental groups. So assuring the ethical and responsive conduct of studies is important, and assuring that products work in diverse populations. This is from four of the different cities that we conducted, and this is really what people feel of their awareness of HIV vaccine trials and sites. And I will say that some of this was taken, so some of these were powwows, and some of them were kind of HIV-related or health fairs. And so some of this is probably actually overestimating what the general population of Native community members might understand or know, because with health fairs, you might get people who are actually more prone to understand or read or listen to or get informed about health information. But even amongst this, there's about 50% that had ever heard of HIV vaccines. And by the way, how many people here have heard of an HIV vaccine trial? Okay, almost everyone. So I don't completely have to discuss it, but what we're talking about here is the prevention vaccines. So these are the vaccines that are supposed to prevent one from being infected should they get exposed to HIV. All of these sites had clinical research sites that were conducting either HIV vaccine research or clinical trials, and in those same cities, in all those four cities. And then we asked them how much they knew about that local clinical research site. Only 30% of respondents, and these even people from health fairs, had any idea of who these clinical research institutions are. So there's a lot of work in building these relationships as well as building knowledge and awareness. And that was basically the whole point of NATURE, which is the Native American Engagement in HIV Clinical Research. It builds relationships among local Native communities and local HIV clinical research staff. And again, this is with urban Native communities, so people who identify within the urban population, so this is not necessarily a rural-based intervention or approach. It's intended to increase the awareness of urban Native communities regarding HIV clinical research, and it intends to ensure that Native community members have the opportunity to participate in clinical trials should they desire. This sort of gives you a schematic overview I work with, as I mentioned before, the Legacy Project. Our key partner is the National Native American AIDS Prevention Center, NAPC, which is out of Denver, Colorado. And so we partnered with them to do this project Nature through funding from NIH, which, as I mentioned, seeks to increase the awareness of clinical trials within Native communities and increase clinical trials under clinical research sites' understanding and engagement with local Native communities. In 2011, it was Denver and Seattle. In 2012, Chicago and San Francisco. And 2013, we are currently working in Baltimore and Dallas. Funding is running out, and time is running short. And this is going to end after Baltimore and Dallas, sadly. But we are still looking for how to increase funds. So if anyone has ideas, or hit me up. So it integrates community engagement, a capacity-building approach to support reciprocal and mutual beneficial relationships. And we use a participatory research framework, but I actually don't want to overstate that because this isn't a research project so much as a facilitated engagement. So we build on the participatory research framework, but we have participation with respect to outreach. So it's more like participatory outreach, participatory research, and then participatory dissemination and engagement activities as well, and facilitation. And I'll sort of discuss how some of that goes on. So some of our community engagement activities include one-to-one meetings with leadership. And this was a key and important, hands down, needed approach. You definitely need to find out who are the key leaders in the communities. And these vary from community to community. It's not always the same type of person. It's not always the same person who has the same level. Sometimes it's spiritual leaders. Sometimes it's just people who've lived in the community for a longer while. Sometimes it's people who are just more knowledgeable, who are actively engaged with community members. And so taking that time, which is something that a lot of clinical research sites don't have the funding or even the direction to actually do that. And that's why this project was so important, is because we were able to facilitate and help support this happening. And the clinical research sites we worked with definitely wanted this. They just don't have necessarily the funding, the advantages to make this happen. And as many of you probably know here, that takes a lot of time. Like that, finding out who the leaders are, engaging those leaders, and getting the diversity of leadership from all of those perspectives. It was also important to have these one-on-one leaders because they could inform how to culturally reach out to the rest of the community members and where to hold our events. Because some places it was not acceptable to do this sort of outreach and awareness raising around clinical research studies. And other places it was totally acceptable. And so getting that buy-in and that work was very important. So the leadership will look different, as I said. And then public kickoffs were important to ask permission and share information about the project. And so these would be, as I said, some of the data that we collected were at different public kickoff events, which include powwows, et cetera, in which we were just, and some of them were also just events where we just attended and didn't really advertise so much as support the actual event going on. But one of my colleagues has made a clear point that it's to make this public, it needs to be truly public and egalitarian. And that means that it's not just a hierarchical thing and that we're not just coming in and telling people what to do or how to run this public event or what. We're actually supporting them. We're providing funds if the public event needs funds, if they need food, if they need support. It's an egalitarian process in which everyone at the table has some say in how this is run. And it's not just us coming into an event and taking over. For the National Native American HIV/AIDS Awareness Day, this was really useful for an opportunity to increase collaboration, right? So you have a lot of local organizations that want to also participate in this. And we come in with some extra funding to support, okay, let's do an AIDS awareness campaign or AIDS awareness project or an AIDS awareness event on the day, work with it and collaborate with these organizations and build more of that trust and relationship. And by doing that, we are engaging the clinical research sites as well as the Native communities and working together to sort of build that whole process up. And again, this is part of the overall relationship building. Now, the key component of ours was also this last point that you see over here, establishing what we call the Native Community Consultant Group. And this started really early on, after doing the kickoffs and meeting the leadership, was inviting people to really join and be participants in that group. And they provided guidance into our survey design, into the analyses that we did for formative research, where we went. They helped design the facilitation and the projects, et cetera. And for capacity building, environmental assessments, as I said, the surveys as well as qualitative focus groups and interviews that we did with clinical research sites. And then we also provide an HIV and clinical research 101 training to the Native community consultants as well as other individuals within Native groups. And those were very important in shaping the information and shaping their knowledge and then helping us design the cultural humility training. So both those two aspects that started in the beginning informed how we designed the cultural humility training. And key aspects of that cultural humility training include perspectives on Native cultures, research in Native communities from a historical perspective, sharing of community data about how to best engage local communities, and that was actually some of the data that we gathered in the formative work, which is why it was important to have local participants involved in the design of those questions. And then all action planning. And the cultural humility training was generally presented both by staff from NAPC and Legacy, but also portions of it were provided by Native community members. So they actually had an empowerment in presenting cultural humility training to clinical research site staff. Beautiful, beautiful model that worked very well. And the engagement was breathtaking, honestly. And it was quite beautiful. The third component of our work was reciprocal relationships. And so this is kind of just an example of the beginning of the work template that we have drafted and are working with in these different cities. Some cities have already started taking it up, obviously the San Francisco and Denver groups, because they started much earlier. The sad thing about losing funding is not being able to follow through with all of the cities, because this is a much longer term idea than just going into communities and delivering the trainings. But both San Francisco and Denver now have Native representation on their CABs, which is excellent. They didn't have that before. But through this project, people who are in our NCC decided that they wanted to join the CABs of the clinical research sites. And Seattle interaction between the sites and local Native organization after the project included stuff like having drummers present at everyone is aware of Timothy Brown, right? The HIV, I don't know if people are. So there was an event in which there was a discussion of cure research and of HIV cure aspects coming from the clinical research site. That clinical research site invited local drummers, Native drummers, to come and perform at their event because of the work that they had done in engaging here. So it's like this cross-collaboration that really developed through this whole process. So many of the common challenges of engagement are similar here. Staffing, funding, as I've said, and as I'll keep saying, scientific literacy, and cultural literacy. So from one end, the scientific literacy, from the other end, the cultural literacy. And then the challenges of identifying stakeholders. As I said, they vary and they're distinct across different cities and locales. Some of the unique challenges for this project was making sure that it's culturally responsive and that it's engaging the Native communities and people from Native communities and diverse people from local Native communities. I think the other big thing was moving from a focus on the individual, which is what most clinical research sites do, to a focus on a larger community, which is a little different. And how do you do outreach when you're doing a community-based outreach rather than an individual-based outreach? And then I think the unique and longer-term challenge that we really need to start addressing and looking at is sustainability. And some of this actually is really also about some of these clinical research sites may end a protocol. So does that mean that they no longer have any relationship with the native communities that they worked with? And does that constitute helicopter research that they just drop in and it's like, okay, we want you because we care about you in this protocol, but now that we're not doing this, we're not there. And again, that's why I want to bring up that this is not about participation. It's really about overall awareness of what is going on in the field. And so, in summary, increased researcher engagement is needed and desirable, and the engagement process must emphasize reciprocity, and it is possible to do this. It's highly possible. It takes funding, takes time, takes support, but it's possible. I want to highlight Michaela Gray at Katie Osterhag at Legacy Project, and Michaela is at NAPC. Those are two people you should definitely contact if you have more questions and specific concerns around how it's done. Thank you.